You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Just love waking up in the morning to a little Bon Scott, the original frontman of AC/DC. About a year ago, maybe two, listed as the best all-time rock and roll frontman in the history of rock and roll. I guess I can't really disagree. What a great dude. So here we are today. It is the 12th of October. And a very big happy birthday is going to go out there to my stepson, Joey. Technically my former stepson. His mother and I are no longer married, but great kid. He turns 20 years old today and come a long way in just doing some awesome things in life. And really, really proud to have been a part of his life and still somewhat a part of his life. Great kid. You know, it is a day after we were supposed to be here yesterday to do the show on Columbus Day. As it turns out, we had some technical difficulties on my end in my studio in Nevada, keeping in mind that the show goes out over the ISDN lines to the studios, and the studios broadcast them all over. That's just the way that things work. And the ISDN box here in my studio, for some reason or other, wouldn't work. So we played, I think it was a prior Monday show, I believe we did October 4th, and I ended up finally, after about 45 minutes or so, getting our ISDN unit to work. It seems to be just fine. Let's just keep our fingers crossed for today's broadcast. Last week, I had pre-recorded shows that came in because I was in California doing a bunch of training for the Handgun Combat Masters course. We're going to talk about that in today's show. As well, there's been some confusion over handgun registration here in my state of Nevada. So the topic of that, where the confusion actually comes from, and people's misnomers, beliefs about what's going on with handgun registration in Nevada, we're going to address that as well. And it's also something that I would encourage you, even if you don't listen in Nevada, just to pay attention to, because the same sorts of things might potentially happen in your state. So suffice it to say, keep tuned in. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened, what people's beliefs are, and what the truth and the laws actually are, which there's a big discrepancy that started this entire thing. And again, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show, and we'll handle that. Of course, the phone lines are going to be open. If you'd like to call and participate today, the number is 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. That's a toll-free call to you. And, of course, I'm not paying for it. The network is, so go ahead and call on in. I love callers. We have I listened to the last few minutes of the last show with Pastor David Manning, where he was speaking about after the November 2nd elections, we're probably headed into a very serious time here in the United States. I've been crowing that same tune for the last few months. Once the November 2nd elections are done, and provided that the Republicans take control of the House and possibly the Senate, but that's a very, very slim plot possibility, take control, it's going to be the Tea Party candidates. And, of course, the Democrats who are going to be losing are going to be none too happy about it. So in their lame duck session, meaning that they have until the new folks are sworn in on January 3rd, I think it is, there'll be a two-month period there, keeping in mind there's a lot of holiday season in there, a lot of break time. But probably at least 3 or 4 weeks in session where they're going to jam down our throats and pass every filthy garbage piece of disgusting legislation that is socialist that they can think of. And unless the Republicans have 60 as a majority in the Senate, it'd be nearly impossible to pass legislation repealing all of the garbage that's going to go through in the lame duck session. So, sit down and put your seatbelt on. It's going to be a crazy ride. Stay tuned, folks. There's plenty more to come here on today's show. You're listening live right here to Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, thank you very much for that wonderful round of applause. Now, last week I was in California, which that itself confuses me, for some handgun combat master training with the handgun combat master himself, Chuck Taylor, of American Small Arms Academy. Now, why we went to California, I think it's just historical. About once or twice a year, this particular group that I train with, usually I think twice a year, we go to a range called Five Dogs in Bakersfield, California, and we do handgun combat master training with Chuck Taylor, the real live original man handgun combat master, came up with the training criteria, came up with the test himself, still runs it today. And this test is now just about 30 years old. I think it came around in 1981. Chuck was the first guy to ever pass it. He's also the original four weapons combat master. And he does all of that training. So why go anywhere else than to train with the man himself? Anything else is just pretty much an imitation. So that's why we go to Bakersfield and we train with Chuck himself. The thing is when we very first went to Bakersfield, a great guy by the name of Stan, who lived in Bakersfield, arranged everything and got everything together, which is why we went to Bakersfield. And there was three or four people from the Bakersfield area that that were all there, so we all kind of congregated around that. And Chuck had been out to Bakersfield before a few times teaching those guys. Well, now it's kind of a whole new crew. And of this new crew, nobody is from Bakersfield. And Bakersfield is not easy to get to. It's really not. It has a small municipal airport, but really, I mean, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It is a decent-sized town where it is, but it's not, I mean, for me, it's 4.5 hour drive or something. And so we end up having, I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 people, something like that. I think we have eight shooters plus Chuck. Chuck lives in northern Arizona. One guy lives in Southern California. Everybody else lives within about 30 miles of me in Pahrump, Nevada, you know, Southern Nevada area. So why we all collectively uprooted and went to Bakersfield is, I guess, because of tradition, but I'm hoping that that comes to an end. Biggest reason, I mean, not that it's not a bad idea to get away from home, hang out with your buddies a little bit, do some shooting, you know, enjoy a couple of cocktails if that's your thing, and just kind of be in the zone. You're away from home, you're away from the computer, you're away from your regular everyday deal, and it's nice to kind of, you know, keep all of this in its own little separate world of sorts and concentrate on the training. Well, the problem that I see is California's number one on the Brady list, so they're number one on my don't spend money in that state list. All right? Now, being a neighbor of California, I find myself in California on a fairly regular basis. And quite honestly, I do my best to not spend any more money than I actually have to, especially when it comes to anything shooting related. Well, every dime that we spent in California, from our gasoline to our food, snacks, hotel room, everything was revolving around shooting. And I have a very big philosophical issue with that. So I don't know that we're actually going to be training in Bakersfield anymore. With most of us living in the same area where I live, we're hoping to actually do it here. So anyhow, as it goes, what we do is we shoot the Handgun Combat Master test. Now it is an 80-round test worth 400 points. So those of you math wizards out there know that each shot is worth 5 points. You get 5 points credit. Now, if you get the shot off in the amount of time and hit in the area that you're looking at, you're down 0 points. Really, what we do is we worry about how many points that you shoot down, or we can count up. So as in a 400-point test, you have to shoot at 90% or better in order to pass and become a handgun combat master. Now, that means that you have to have a score of 360 points or better in order to become a master. Or, if you're doing it the opposite way, you can't be any more than 40 points down, which it's a little easier to count down. But you can't be any more than 40 points down, because that's, again, 10% of the 400-point test. You can lose points for all kinds of things. First of all, if you have a peripheral hit, you're minus 3 points. You only get 2 points for hitting in the target area. It's a humanoid silhouette sort of a target. If you don't hit in the designated area, like you're a little bit too far outside of the chest cavity or a little bit too far out of the head box, if that's what you're shooting at, you're minus 3 points. You get 2 points for getting on paper in an area that would actually draw blood if it was an actual combat situation. But you end up with no points if you miss. If you miss that area entirely, and no blood would be drawn if that were an adversary that you shot at. If you're late, if you take the shot late, then you're down 5 points. So, for God forbid that you actually miss a shot or have a peripheral hit, and you're late. If you're late, then you're late. Just take your time and make sure you get the hit, because you don't want to be down anything else. Otherwise, if you just left your gun in the holster, you'd be down 5 points. But if you shoot, and you shoot late, and it's not a good hit, you're down more than the 5 points. And sometimes that is actually the case. So it is a very difficult test to go through. Also, if you do an incorrect procedure, let's say that you flinch a little bit while you're on the line before the whistle is blown, 5 points. At the end, we do malfunction clearances. We do type 1s, type 2s, type 3s, which are failure to fire, failure to eject, failure to extract. Then we also do tactical reloads and what Chuck refers to as a speed load. Others would refer to it as an emergency reload, where with the semi-auto, your slide is locked back on an empty magazine. Chuck calls it a speed load because he says, you know, what about being in a gunfight isn't a damned emergency? So, very good point on that. But just so some of you would use your own terminology, you understand what I'm talking about. Speed load / emergency reload. We do 5 of each of those. Just to give you an idea, type 1s and type 2s, you have 1 second flat to clear those. Type 1, you know that it's a type 1 because the gun works. You press the trigger, it goes click, but the ammo doesn't go bang. So the gun works, but the ammo doesn't. So you tap the magazine, rack flip the action, and it's cleared. Type 2, that's where the stovepipe malfunction, where you've got the piece of brass coming out of the ejection port, a failure to eject. That you would press the trigger is dead, so you actually have to elevate the muzzle up just a little bit right there in your eyesight. You notice that the piece of brass is hanging out of the ejection port, but you fix it the same way with a tap, rack, flip. So 1 second for each of those. Then a type 3, a failure to extract, which is all of that brass really low in the ejection port. That is commonly referred to as the mother of all malfunctions. So that takes a lot more time and effort to clear, but we get 4 seconds to get it done. The speed load, a.k.a. emergency reload, we have all of, I believe it's 1.6 seconds to identify an empty gun and reload it and have it pointed back in about 1.6 seconds. And then a tactical reload, where you take the magazine that's in the gun out, retain it, and insert a fresh magazine. All of that done in, I think that's 4 seconds as well, maybe 3.5, I forget. Anyhow, it's very fast. And the shots are incredibly fast as well. I mean, we're doing 2 shots, controlled pairs, in 1 second. Actually, all the way back to, let's see, I think at 15 yards. No, my mistake. At 25 yards, we finally get more than 2 seconds. I think it's I think it's 2.1 seconds at 25 yards to get two shots into the thoracic cavity, into the chest area. So back to, from close contact, which is essentially right there at the target, toe-to-toe with the target, back to 15 yards, you have less anywhere from 1 to 2 seconds, I think between 1 and 1.8 seconds, all the way back to 15 yards. And then at 50 yards, you actually get a very generous amount of time, two shots in 6 seconds from the holster. You do multiple target engagements. We do responses. If somebody's coming up from your left side, or if they're coming up from your right side, or they're coming up from the rear, you need to be able to get a response, get out there, and get a single shot off with the response. From the firing side and from the support side, the right side and the left side, it's 1 second to turn a dress and get a single shot off under the chest. To respond from the rear, it's 1.2 seconds. So all of the techniques are refined, because one of the things, you don't want to pull your gun out, rotate it, and then spin to shoot the target, because you'll be covering every other shooter on the line. So there's some very refined techniques. You don't want to point the muzzle at anything other than the target itself. There's fast headshots, hostage rescue shots, shots on targets which are behind a barricade, all very difficult. As it turns out, I shot in the 80 percentile, not the 90 percentile, for each of the tests that we shot. Having downgraded quite a bit, I was in the 87 to 89 percentile for a couple of years. Now I'm in the low 80 percentile, so I know where I need to work. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come in today's show. We'll be right back. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, I'm actually looking forward to this week. It's a very busy, busy week. I have a lot of stuff going on. My birthday is on Thursday, on the 14th, in 2 days. And I've, you know, got some plans for that. And tomorrow, I'm going to be in Vegas all day tomorrow. I've got a trade show to go to with a good buddy of mine. And it's funny because he and I met years ago. I think we were 10 years old when we met. Probably my longest friend in the world. His name is Jason. I call him Jake. Anyhow, Jake and I are going with another friend by the name of Vaughn, a guy that's actually in business with Jake. And we're going to a trade show in Vegas. They want to get into doing some things in their retail store in an industry that I used to be in. So we're going to that trade show, which is in Vegas. And it's a funny thing because Jake is 1 day older than I am. He was born the day before me. So tomorrow, when we're in Vegas, it's actually going to be his birthday. So I'd imagine we're probably going to go down maybe to Hofbräu House and have a little Oktoberfest fun there. And on top of that, many of you know that I was a contestant on the first season of the History Channel's television show, which is a shooting-based reality show called Top Shot. Well, a couple, two or three of the guys from Top Shot are in town this week, so I'm going to try to hook up with them tomorrow as well, maybe even over the weekend. Plus, another buddy of mine is going to be in Vegas over the weekend with his brother, both great guys. So I may be in town in Vegas again on Friday or Saturday hanging out with them. So just a lot of stuff going on. On top of that, I was speaking with group that has see, I can't really give too much away. There's a company which owns a lot of outdoor land in the Pahrump Valley where I live in Pahrump, Nevada. Again, it's northwest of Vegas, about 50 miles or so. And they have an interest in having some form of a shooting range put together. So I met with them last week, just informally, went and looked at the area they're talking about, gave them some ideas on some shooting range platform, and I'm hoping to be able to actually speak with the guy that actually, the owner that is in charge of the finances for such projects on this large area of property, and hoping to actually get a very nice range put in out there where I can go out there and teach some classes as well. So we're working on all kinds of stuff this weekend. This week is a very, very busy week. I'm really looking forward to going to Vegas and hanging out with my buddy Jake and Vaughn and going to this trade show and getting a couple things done. They've been very interested in adding a particular element dealing with the garment industry into their business. So it'll be nice to go there and check that out and have a couple of laughs and see what's going on. And here's really the beauty of having so many different trade shows every year in Las Vegas. Companies spend a lot of money to put together a booth, and they ship all of their equipment out, and then they put all this equipment up, and they display it. And oftentimes, it is the very best piece of equipment they've got. It's kind of like a race team. If you have a race team, you have an engine builder, and he puts together a particular engine, and that engine proves itself to be very strong in testing, and maybe out on the track proves itself to be very strong. You're not going to put the engine that dynoed fairly crappy into a car on race day. You're going to put the best motor you've got in there that you have in your inventory for that type of a race. Same sort of thing happens generally when it comes to trade shows. They'll bring their very best piece of equipment. Well, to crate all of that stuff up and ship it back is a big expense. And then they've got to sell it as a used piece of equipment. You can't very well sell a piece of equipment that's been actually used in a trade show as a brand new item. So they have to sell it as a discount anyhow. The beauty in Vegas is, if you go to a trade show in your industry and you find equipment that you want, and you decide, okay, this is the manufacturer, this is a piece of equipment that I want to get. If you have cash, cash talks very, very loudly. Because all you have to do is tell them, look, I want this piece of equipment. As a matter of fact, I'll give you 50% down. Let's say it's just for round numbers. Let's say it's a $10,000 piece of equipment. You can oftentimes go to a Vegas trade show and you can get it for $3,000 or $4,000 cash when it retails for $10,000. Hey, look, you guys brought this thing out. Here you go. Expense, blah, blah, blah. I'm local. Your trade show ends on Friday afternoon. Nothing ends on Friday in Vegas. Well, let's say it ends on Friday afternoon at 5. So I tell you, I'll be here to pick it up Friday afternoon, 4:30, 5 o'clock. Here's 50% down on it. You know, I want the thing for $4,000. Here's $2,000. Hold on to it for me. I'll pick it up. You guys don't have to worry about shipping it out. I'm local. I'll handle it. I'll throw it in my truck and we're gone. So that's really a great way to actually pick up equipment and things at trade shows in Vegas. When I was in the printing industry, our shop ended up getting about a $50,000 press. For a printing press, a web press, for I think $22,000, and had one of the equipment guys in Vegas go out there and pick it up at the end of the show, deliver it, and install it. So just kind of a neat thing. Anyhow, that's all on the agenda for this week. When we come back, we're going to address a topic that has come up in the state of Nevada that may rear its ugly head in whatever state you happen to be a citizen of when it comes to gun registration. So we're going to talk about that just as soon as we come back. So stay tuned. You are tuned in live right here to Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, folks, welcome back. In the state of Nevada, there is only one area of gun registration, and that is handguns, and it's only inside of Clark County, Nevada. Clark County is at the southern end of the state, and it includes Las Vegas. So only if you're in the same county as Las Vegas, Clark County, Nevada, is there any form of registration as handguns only. That's it. Now, there's been much confusion about this. Let me talk just a little bit about this. There used to be no state preemption law in the state of Nevada. Then in 1999, the state legislature and its infinite, I don't want to use wisdom, but they passed a law for changing Nevada from a may-issue state for concealed weapons into a shall-issue state for concealed weapons, and at the same time passed a state preemption law. That state preemption law meaning that no city, county, township, municipality of any kind can pass any sort of firearms legislation more restrictive than the state. However, what they did was they grandfathered in any existing laws that were already on the books at the time. No new laws could preempt the state laws. At the time, there's only three laws on the books. One is in the city of North Las Vegas, dealing with carrying guns and having them in your car, which is different than the state law. Another is in Boulder City, when it comes to carrying guns and having them in your car. And the reason for that, actually, it's interesting with Boulder City. Boulder City is also the only city in the entire state where there's no gaming. Sounds kind of odd. Boulder City was originally built as a federal camp for the Boulder Dam Project, now known as Hoover Dam, over in Black Rock Canyon, which created Lake Mead. So everybody knows about Hoover Dam, originally called Boulder Dam. As a matter of fact, the Boy Scouts are part of the Boulder Dam Area Council. So it tells you how long the Boy Scouts have been around and when it was actually called Boulder Dam, later turned into Hoover Dam. Anyhow, Boulder City was a federal established camp for the workers who were working for the different contract companies building the dam because it was a federal project. It was one of these Depression era, 1930s, Great Depression era sorts of projects. You know how we were doing different projects around the country for infrastructure. This was one of them. Matter of fact, the largest. So anyhow, Boulder City holds true to many of its original laws that were on the books when it was a federal encampment. It is now just a city, but they hold on to a lot of their history, which is actually kind of neat. Boulder City is a really neat little town. I've heard it referred to by residents as God's country. It really is a very neat town. I considered moving there once upon a time, but they didn't have any newer four-bedroom homes, which is what I was looking for. I didn't want an older four-bedroom home that's going to cost me a lot of money. But it is a neat place. Anyhow, the other of the third laws is the handgun registration in Clark County, which at the time was if you get a handgun or you come to Las Vegas with a handgun, you have 72 hours to register it with the county sheriff's office. That is Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. You've certainly heard enough about them, especially with the Eric Scott debacle and homicide as of late on this show. So those are the three laws, all of them in Clark County. North Las Vegas, Boulder City, and then the Clark County law or Clark County ordinance on handgun registration. So as it turns out, in the last legislative session, and the state legislature meets in Nevada every other year, every odd-numbered year for 120 days. So the last time they met, they entertained a new piece of legislation that got rid of all of the grandfathered-in laws under the state preemption. Well, that was negotiated down and negotiated down to where it ended up that the North Las Vegas law and the Boulder City law were untouched, and the Clark County registration, that was asked at the state level to be changed to 45 days to register. And here's a big reason behind that as well. The SHOT Show comes to Las Vegas. They used to be in Las Vegas and in Orlando, Florida. Well, they signed a 10-year deal to come to Las Vegas. Permanently for 10 solid years, which they love Vegas. It's always a bigger show than Orlando anyhow. I mean, who doesn't like coming to Vegas? From all over the world. So, we end up with these guys that are here for their first show of the 10 years. And they key in, well, my goodness, everyone who is here, who has brought a handgun with them, be it a some sort of vendor or someone who's displaying guns, Smith & Wesson, HK, Glock, everybody who brought any handguns here to this show is violating law, the county ordinance of registering handguns with the county sheriff, because none of them did it. So they got a hold of the folks here at the county level called the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority and said, we just realized this. It's our mistake. We've done many shows in Vegas, but now that we have a 10-year deal here, we're not going to keep everybody susceptible to being in violation of the law and potentially being cited or arrested. So we're going to be in Orlando next year. We're not coming back. We're not coming back until this is not an issue. So one of the major issues was, of course, that handgun registration deal. So they change it to 45 days. You can now move to town or buy a gun, private party, or visit town or whatever. And if you're here for 45 days, then you have to register your handgun with the county at the at Las Vegas Metro, who is the county sheriff. It's a county sheriff in the city of the city of Las Vegas and unincorporated Clark County is where Las Vegas Metro has jurisdiction. So, or I should say exercises their authority. So, now what we've got is we've got just handgun registration just in Clark County. Well, there was a guy who's running for sheriff in Clark County. He lost in the primary. But prior to that, sometime this last spring, he was being interviewed. And this guy was, he's a detective for Las Vegas Metro, very conservative guy, very pro-gun, very constitutionally oriented, and it's kind of a shame that he didn't make it past the primary into the general election, but he did not. Someone asked him in a recorded interview, he said, they phrased the question somewhere along the lines of, how do you feel, what is your opinion of the handgun registration in Clark County? And how would you handle that considering it's a state law? Well, he went on to answer the question. The thing is that the question itself was flawed. A lot of people in Nevada believe that handgun registration is in fact a state law. A lot of them believe it. Because really, over half, about two-thirds of the population of the state of Nevada is in the Las Vegas Valley. The other third is in the remainder of the state, and we are a huge state. This is a big, big state. We're just not very populated. 86% of the state of Nevada is somehow owned or controlled by the federal government. So, only 14% is privately owned. Or, in some cases, the state owns part of it. Actually, I guess the federal lands can only be 10 square miles, blah, blah, blah. Different discussion. Just stick with me here. I'm not going to digress too far on this. So a lot of people in southern Nevada, in Clark County, believe that handgun registration is a statewide law, having never actually looked at the law. Only, you know, some discussions with different people that can be educated or have been educated or have glossed over a few, not the actual law, but maybe some interpretations or just a little sentence or two about it. So there's been a big hubbub throughout the state, especially in Clark County. Is this a state law or not? And somewhere along the line, someone has actually come so far as to suggest that any county that has more than 400,000 people is mandated to register handguns. Now, where that came from, I don't know. I'm sure that there was some sort of legitimate reason for seeing that. Or interpreting that. The only law I know of on the entire books of the state of Nevada that has anything to do with what you can or cannot do based on population of the county is prostitution. And I believe if you have a county of more than 250,000 people, you cannot have prostitution in that county. The other counties can either leave it up to themselves if they want to allow it or not, but if you do allow it, it has to be in a licensed brothel with all these different state provisions. There are 17 counties in this state. Two are over 400,000. Clark County is obviously one. The second is Washoe County, which reached a peak of 400,000 people or more in 2007. Washoe County does not now, nor has it ever had, handgun registration. They are over 400,000. So some people might, well, then when the census comes back officially for 2010, they're going to have it. No, there is no law on the state books requiring gun registration of any kind. It does not exist. I have checked the laws. I have even confirmed. As a matter of fact, I confirmed with the assistant sheriff of Nye County, where I live. I sent him an email just yesterday going through this whole thing. My dear Mr. Assistant Sheriff, my research shows blah-da-da-da-da, and that the registration in Clark County is a county ordinance. Can you please advise? His response was, you're absolutely correct. There is no state law requiring any form of registration, and handgun registration in Clark County is a county ordinance. So, there are two ways to get rid of that. One is to have the Clark County Commission vote to end handgun registration, because it really does nothing to solve any sort of crimes. All it's ever done is if somebody's gun is stolen and the police recover it, they can then go to their database, find out who is supposed to have it, and then let them know that they've got it. They can go through the hoops to try to get the gun returned. Otherwise, if you have the information on the gun, the serial number and all the information, and your gun is lost or stolen, you can report it as lost or stolen, and as recovered, you go through the same thing. They don't just automatically come to you if you have no idea that you're missing a gun. If you have no idea that you're missing a gun, maybe you probably should ought to not had a gun, or maybe you should ought to have known where it should be, the condition it's in, blah-da-da. Check up on it every now and again. Kind of like a child, you wouldn't just disregard them. Well, I haven't seen my kid in a few days. I wonder what's going on. Okay, kind of the same thing with the gun, guys. So, the other way is for the state preemption law to have the grandfathered clauses of that done away with at the next legislative session, which we have the elections in November. Those guys go into office, I think, February, March, April, and May, I think, are the 120-day stretch that our state legislature will be in session. Interesting. I believe that if you are an assembly person in the state house, I think for that 120 days, I believe you get $9,000. I think that's what it is. So nobody really runs for state office in Nevada for all of the riches and all the glories. However, a lot of them run it for the power and what they can get behind the scenes and all of that garbage. Because these guys will spend $100,000 or more on a job that pays $9,000, $10,000, $15,000, maybe in the Senate, whatever that is. Ridiculous to me. Anyhow, so to sum this whole thing up, a reporter asked a sheriff's candidate a question, and the question itself was flawed due to a misunderstanding by the person who was asking the question. That person had some assumption that handgun registration was a state law. It is not. It is a Clark County ordinance. It is the only ordinance of its kind in the entire state. Then somewhere along the line, someone else thought that, I don't know where it came from, that, you know, if there's a county with 400,000 or more, state law says you have to register guns. How would you do that? All of a sudden, your county reaches 400,000. And now what? You've got to take in your whole collection of guns into the police department, stand in line with a bag full of your guns to register all of them? Is that what you do? Or is it only new guns now that there's 400,000? You don't have to register any of your old stuff, just anything new from this point on. Is that it? I mean, how would you manage that? That is not the state law. The state law is a law of preemption. The Clark County handgun registration is one of those preemptions. Now, I bring this up on a national talk radio show for this reason. You may have some odd laws as well. Okay? You very well may have some odd laws in your state where there is no preemption. Oftentimes, folks might believe that a law in your city or your county might be statewide, when in fact, it very well may not be. You need to look into these things and be educated. And please do not regurgitate things that you hear based solely on mouth to ear. Okay? Based solely on that, you've got to do your research. I remember as a young lad working in a gun store for a while on Saturdays. I'd work in the range in the afternoon and the gun store in the morning. And on the range, I would oftentimes hear these same crusty old guys that would come in and say, you can't shoot reloads through a Glock because the chamber's too tight. No, don't shoot reloads through a Glock because they say not to in their actual paperwork. If you measure the chamber of a Glock, it's actually looser than most. But they kept regurgitating all of this bad information because they kept doing it. So actually investigate and find out. So that puts to rest the issue with handgun registration in Clark County. And we are going, actually, when we come back from the next break, I don't know why I'm not hearing my outro music, but something is immensely not good. When we come into the final segment, I'm going to correct myself from something that went down last week where I misspoke. So we'll have that after the break. Stay tuned. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
And welcome back. Okay, so last week on Thursday's show, I'm pretty sure it was, I was talking about different states that have great gun laws. And I had mentioned how great the gun laws are at a state level in Virginia. I misspoke. It's the other V state, Vermont. Okay, so I got a lot of flack for that, and rightfully so, because I misspoke. I got, I don't know how many emails. So, hey, you know, Virginia laws really suck, and look into this. And here's a bunch of links to go on there. You know, what are you talking about? What's so great about Virginia's laws? And blah, blah, blah. So, and thank you to all of you who emailed me. Again, anytime that happens, bill@2aradio.com was my email address. You're absolutely right. I wasn't going off of notes. I was going off of recollection in my head. And I said Virginia as opposed to Vermont. Now, here's another thing to be aware of when it comes to Vermont. So now that we have the correction handled, here's a caveat. In Vermont, there's virtually no laws on the state books dealing with guns, which is why they say, you know, it's constitutional carry. However, there are different laws on the books at different town, city, and county levels, different ordinances on the books dealing with guns. So you can go from the city into the county, and the laws might change, and that county into another county, and from that county into a township or another city, and all of them might have a different ordinance of sorts based on guns. Now, that would take somebody like Todd Bergen of Pointed In Press, who has been writing these wonderful books called the Gun, Knife, and Weapon Compendiums based on the different states. He has California, gun, knife, and weapon law compendium. Same with Nevada. He has Colorado out. He's working on a couple others. It would take a guy like that to put together something for Vermont. And it would be a lot of research because, again, any state that has a preemption law and has done away with any grandfathering, that's a lot easier to deal with. But in Vermont, you've got cities and counties that you're going to have to deal with when it comes to that. So, again, my apologies. I said Virginia. I'm thinking back east. The name of the state begins with a V. Somehow Virginia just came out rather than Vermont. Entirely my mistake. And thank you to all of the listeners out there, and there were many of you, who sent me an email asking me if my head had been crushed in a vice or something, what is so good about the anti-gun laws in Virginia? So, again, thanks for being heads up. Here's the correction. I didn't make that correction on Friday as I was still out doing my training, and that show had been pre-recorded. But today we're live, and tomorrow we'll be back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.